American Novels. An American classic of Southern California that pictures eloquently the woes of the Indians and the old Spanish life at the close of the Mexican War. NBC's University of the Air brings you the second episode in a two-part version of Helen Hunt Jackson's Ramona, another in our series of books that live, American novels.
Then if you're glad my mother was an Indian, Alessandro, why do you want to leave me?
Because the Americans have taken our village, my senorita. And though I would gladly offer my life for you, I cannot take my senorita's life to throw it away. She's tender. She cannot lie on the earth for a bed and have no food to eat.
I'm strong. I can work too, Alessandro. I'm not afraid to lie on the earth, and God will give us food. Oh, Alessandro, I can no longer stay in the Senora Moreno's house. Take me with you, Alessandro.
Senorita. My senorita.
As Ramona walked through the halls of the Moreno house, gathering a little food and a few personal things, she had no regrets in leaving the place that had been her home since she was four. Ramona had always known the Senora hated her, had kept her only because of the promise made to the Senora's sister, who had adopted Ramona and then died shortly afterward. But for Felipe, the Senora's adored son, Ramona had a different feeling. Daring not to speak to him for fear of arousing the Senora, she left a note.
Dear Felipe, Alessandro has come at last, and I'm going away with him tonight. I'm sorry it has to be this way, but your mother would never consent to our marrying here. Thank you, dear Felipe, for all your kindness. I shall love you always. Ramona.
My senorita, you are so burdened.
Oh, it was nothing, Alessandro. I told you I am strong. I have enough food to last us for a while, and I brought your violin. Oh,
my blessed one. The violin should bring a nice sum of money. Ah, but this is a night for surprises. See what I have for you.
Baba. My own Baba. What is a miracle?
I called him softly from the corral fence, and he bounded over it and followed me. But it worries me to take him.
Why, dear? He's more mine than anything else I had. Felipe gave him to me when he was but 2 days old.
However, the senora may think I stole Baba and try to have me arrested. Horse stealing by Indians is a dangerous offense. We will travel at night and rest in the day, Mahal, lest they pursue.
Very well, Alessandro. We'll do as you say, though I'm not afraid. Not in the least. But to whom will we go?
There is a priest at San Diego who is a friend of the Indians. Father Gaspara. Yes, he will help us.
It was a poverty-stricken chapel with crudely whitewashed walls and cheap candles burning in tin holders. After the ceremony, Father Gaspara took them to the decaying adobe building which served as his home and where he kept the book of marriage records.
This book I'm very proud of. It dates back to 1769. Now, where are you from?
Temecula, Father.
The village the Americans took over the other day?
Yes, Father.
A burning shame. The most dastardly thing I've seen yet in this land forsaken of God. Where will you go?
We will go to the village of San Pascual, about 15 miles from here. My cousin Isidro has had man there. The village was established by a decree of the governor of California. They have a paper in the governor's own hand to that effect. However, I have come to feel that nothing is safe from the Americans. What do you think, Father?
I think the United States is a government of thieves and robbers. God will punish them. But why do I prate? My son, tell me your names again.
Alessandro Assis.
And the woman?
Mahia.
Is that all?
Mahia Fraile.
Father, I...
No, no. Put up your money, son.
But I sold my violin. Father, I can pay.
I'll take no money from a Temecula Indian. Goodbye. Perhaps you may still reach San Pasqual tonight. God protect you, my children.
Ramona endeared herself to the people of San Pasqual immediately. And 2 days after their arrival, Alessandro heard a piece of news which startled him out of his usual passive demeanor.
Mahea! My Mahea!
Alessandro, what is it?
There are cattle and sheep.
What do you mean?
Last spring, my father sent one of our herd down to Isidro to graze here. 100 sheep and 50 head of cattle. And many of the cows have calved. Oh, we are not beggars as I thought.
Oh, Alessandro, how wonderful.
Yes.
I told you God would give us food.
One year and half of another passed.
She has eyes like yours, Mahea. Blue like the sky.
She's a lovely baby, Alessandro.
But now our house is not large enough. Just 2 rooms.
Not large enough for all the love and happiness it holds, but big enough for us. Do you not think we're the most blessed couple in all California, Alessandro?
Today, yes, Mahea. For tomorrow, I cannot answer.
Alessandro, home at noon? Why is that? Alessandro, what's happened? What is wrong? Speak to me, Alessandro.
It has begun.
What? What has begun, Alessandro? Oh, tell me.
Last year, Isidro rented a canyon at the head of the valley.
Yes?
To a Dr. Morong in America. Isidro didn't need the land and thought it a good chance to make some money. He took every precaution. Had Father Gaspara act as interpreter for him. It was a written agreement. But when the lease expired and Isidro asked the doctor if he wished to renew it, the doctor said the land was his and that he was coming there to build a house and live.
But how could he?
The doctor said the land did not belong to Isidro at all, but the United States government, and that he had paid the money for it to the agents in Los Angeles.
Did Isidro go to Father Gaspar?
Yes, yes, and they both went to a lawyer in San Diego and showed him Isidro's paper from the Mexican governor of California. But the lawyer only laughed and said that the paper was worthless, that it was all very well when the country belonged to Mexico, but it now belongs to the United States. We have American law now, not Mexican.
What did Father Gaspar say?
He was in a rage, but the lawyer only laughed at him. You'll see it. It is as I said, Mahea. There is no place safe. We can do nothing.
From that day, Alessandro was a changed man. Hope had died in his bosom. And in a few weeks later, while he was plowing, an American approached him.
Look here now. Be off, will you? This is my land. I'm going to build a house here.
This was my land yesterday. How come it is yours today?
Now, come now. You look like a reasonable kind of fellow. You just clear out, will you, and not make me any trouble. See, the land belongs to me and my brother. And our papers from Washington last week. Now, you may just as well go peaceably as to make a fuss about it, don't you see?
Yes. I see, senor. I am not surprised. I knew it would come. I will not give you any trouble, because I cannot. But it is very hard, senor.
I know it does go a little rough on fellows like you that are industrious and have done some work on the land. But you see, the land's in the market. I paid money for it.
The senor is going to build the house?
Yeah, I've got my family in San Diego, and I want to get them settled as soon as I can.
We have a very good house with 2 rooms. It would save the senor's building. And there will be $300 worth of wheat in July. What will you give me for them?
I suppose you know I can have them without paying for them if I choose.
No, no, you cannot, senor.
What's to stop me, I'd like to know?
I shall stop you, senor. I shall burn down the sheds and corrals, tear down the house. And before a blade of wheat is reaped, I will burn that too.
What'll you take?
$200.
All right, it's a bargain. Here. Here's the money. Fool I am, though, for buying out an Indian.
It had been a sad 2 years in the Moreno household since Ramona left. And now, the Senora was dying.
Felipe, what a son thou hast been.
Oh, Mother, dearest.
Felipe, behind that statue of St. Catherine, look.
Nothing's there, dearest Mother. Be calm, I'm here.
No, no, Felipe. There is a door there. Secret door. Look.
Don't tell me now, Mother dear. Wait until you're stronger.
There will not be another time. Open. Look. Believe me.
Mother. She's gone.
After the funeral, Felipe discovered the secret door behind the statue. And there he found a letter from Senora Ortegna concerning Ramona and the jewels which rightfully belonged to her. But one thing remained to Felipe now, to find Ramona if she lived. He left the next day. But whenever he met Indians who knew the couple, they denied it, thinking they were helping Ramona and Alessandro.
Dear, Alessandro.
Yes? Yes, Maja.
We've traveled most of the day since leaving San Pascual. Where are we going?
My Maja, I cannot tell what to do. It seems I'm going mad. I do not know what I think. All my thoughts seem whirling round. Do you think I can be going mad?
Oh, my love. Let us go to Los Angeles and not live with the Indians anymore. You could get work there. I could do sewing, too.
Go to live among the white people? If they drive us out of our villages by the hundreds, what would they do to two alone? If Mahia would not be afraid, I know a place high up on the mountain where no white man has ever been. There is water and a little green valley.
Oh.
Mahia would be afraid?
Oh, yes, Alessandro, I would be afraid. All alone on a high mountain. Try something else first, Alessandro. Is there no other Indian village you know?
There is Saboba at the foot of San Jacinto Mountain. But it is a poor little village. Mahia would not like to live in it. And I do not think it would be safer than San Pascual for long.
Let us try it anyway, Alessandro.
As night came, a fierce wind blew from the north, and the snow began to fall in great, blinding gusts.
There's an old sheep corral, and a hut not too far from here, if we can but reach it.
Let us try, Alessandro.
But, Mahia, I fear for you and the child. You will freeze. Come, come, my Benito, come. I know you are cold, but it is death to stay here. Come.
Numb. My hands are numb. Perhaps we will die here. Perhaps that would be just as well.
Sorry to handle you so rough, ma'am, but I had to get you into that there fire.
Fire?
Wrecking you plumb out of your head in the cold. Your husband's already taken the baby into the shelter there where my wife and son is.
My baby?
Yeah, here we are. My hair.
Oh. The baby, Alessandro.
She is alive. Are you all right?
She'll be fitter than a fiddle once she gets to this here fire. So come on up, dearie.
Oh, but the baby.
Now, don't fret yourself. I'm a cuddling the little one. Now, you just rest.
Oh, thank you, Senora.
Senora?
That means lady, Ma.
Oh, Lord, honey, I ain't no lady. Everybody around where we live just calls me Aunt Rye.
Oh, I like the name.
This here's a mighty poor shelter. We just put up here the night to get out in the storm. Are you warm, Joe?
Not very, Ma. but I ain't cold nuther, and that's something.
Well, reckon it's time for introduction. Wynn's the Hyers family. Joe's there's our only son. He's tucked down with lung trouble, so he's come out here all the way from Tennessee to try to make him better. They tell me they got some hot springs around here do a heap of good.
You are American?
I'm son.
Yep, that we are. Do you Mexican?
We are Indians.
Indians? Oh, good Lord.
Now, Vaughn.
Well, to be frankly with you, I'd never tuck you in if I knew that. I'd been plumb scared. But I reckon a Dunlarned Indian can be just same as near neighbor in Tennessee.
And we have learned that Americans can be very kind.
It was a sad day when the Hyers moved to San Bernardino, which was their original destination. But Alessandro saw them again, much sooner than he expected.
Alessandro, but you're just the man I wanted to see. Been trying to arrange so that I could get over to see you. Say, the government ain't on the side of them thieves like you thought. I know they couldn't be. They just sent out a man to take care of the Indians and nothing else. And there's a doctor, too, to care for you when you're sick.
Doctor, that is why I came. The baby is very sick.
Well, come on. I'll take you to his house. Maybe he'll drive out to see the baby.
Is he an agency Indian?
A what?
Does he belong to the agency? Is his name on the books?
Well, no. He never heard any agency till I was a-telling him just now.
Well, you ought to have taken him to the agent first.
But the baby's awful poorly.
Yes, you told me that before.
Senor, I have brought a horse that can take you to Saboba in 3 hours. Will the senor doctor come to look at my child? I will pay you what the white man pays you.
There's no man of any color could pay me for going 60 miles.
Not come. Would not. Did you not say the government had sent him to be the doctor for the Indians?
That was what they said. You see, it is a lie, like the rest.
Then we will take her to him.
Maria.
Oh, why did I not think of that before? You can fasten the cradle on Baba's back and he will go ever so gently. We must start right away.
It is a wise thought, Maria.
Come, Alessandro. I will hold her while you fix the cradle. We must be quiet.
Yes.
I think she's asleep. Alessandro. She's so still. So still. Alessandro?
Maria.
Alessandro!
They stood quietly for a long while, looking at the small mound of fresh earth. Then Ramona spoke.
Alessandro, take me away. Anywhere, I don't care. Anywhere, so it's not here.
Would Mahea be afraid now on the high mountain? The place I told her of?
No. No, I'm afraid of nothing. Only take me away.
It is well. We will go to the mountain. We will be safe there. We will hide forever.
Because they would not need the two horses, and food would be scarce, Alessandro took Bob and Benito to the Hyers, who agreed to care for them in return for their use. When they reached the top of San Jacinto Mountain, Ramona drew a long breath of contentment.
At last, Alessandro, here we are safe. This is freedom.
Can Mahea be content?
I can almost be glad, Alessandro. I never dreamed it was like this.
It was a wondrous valley. There was happiness and contentment. And after a year...
The Virgin has been good to us, beloved. She's given us a daughter again.
But alas, Mahea... Her eyes are like mine, not yours.
I'm glad of it. I was glad the first minute I saw them.
It is ill fate to have the eyes of Alessandro.
They look ever on woe.
Dear Alessandro, it is a sin to always mourn. Father Salviadera said, if we repined under our crosses, then a heavier cross would be laid on us. Worse things would come.
Yes, that is true. Worse things will come.
There was no real healing for Alessandro. His hurts had gone too deep. Slowly his brain gave way. For long periods he would be all right. And then a time would come when he would lose himself completely and afterwards have no recollection of what had happened.
Oh, Alessandro at last. I was afraid something had happened to him. Why does he race the horse so?
Mahia!
Why, Alessandro! Whose horse is this?
Huh? What?
This is not our horse.
No. No, it isn't. Where is my horse, then?
Holy heaven, Alessandro. Take the horse back immediately. They will say you stole it.
But I left my pony there in the corral. I'm sure I did. How could I ever have made this mistake? I must have had one of my sicknesses.
Let me take it back, dear. Let me go down with it. They'll believe me.
Mahia, you think I would send you to Jim Farrar's corral? It was there I left my pony. Yes, I will ride back myself as soon as I have rested. But now I'm heavy with sleep.
All right, dear. Rest a while, and then take it straight back. We must not wait too long. The dog is barking. Something is wrong.
I will go see. Mr. Farrar!
Even get my horse tied up right out in broad daylight! Why, you...
Mr. Farrar, let me explain...
Alessandro, what... Alessandro! Oh, no! Alessandro!
I will teach you damn minions to leave off stealing our horses! Get
up! Alessandro! My Alessandro, my love! Speak to me! Alessandro!
The Indians of Coahuila, at the foot of the mountain, gave Ramona home. As the days wore on, it seemed, Ramona did not care to live. Nothing would rouse her from the deep coma in which she lay. Everyone felt she would die. And well she might have, had not Felipe, after a year of fruitless searching, arrived in the village of San Bernardino.
Whoa! Father! 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 Say, stranger, I'd like to run you over.
I'm sorry, my mind was on something else. I didn't see you coming.
Well, that ain't a very good policy when you're crossing the street.
Oh, yes, I said... That horse. That horse.
Yeah, fine feller, ain't it?
It's Baba. It must be.
That's his name, all right. How'd you know?
Where did you get it?
Well, both of them belong to an Indian couple. Live atop of that mountain yonder. Names of...
Ramon and Alessandro?
Very same ones. Fine folks.
I found them. Oh, bless you forever. It must be the saints led you here.
On the way to the mountain, Felipe learned of Alessandro's death. Within a few hours, he joined Aunt Rye at the bedside of the thin, feverish Ramona. And Rye brewed some medicine from herbs and spent patient hours forcing it through Ramona's lips.
Is she...
Just be quiet. I told you she'd come around. Now, honey, you just lay quiet. Felipe and me are here, and we are going to stay. You ain't got nothing to be afeard of.
Felipe?
Yes, dear, I'm here, too. I'll look after everything. When you're well, I'll take you away.
Home? With you?
I'm alone, dear Ramona. My mother is dead a year.
Dear Felipe... Home with you.
Life ran smoothly in the Moreno household. Both summer and winter had each its own joys. And the greatest of these joys was the little child, Ramona, on whom Felipe could lavish the affection he dared not show her mother.
Ramona?
Yes, Felipe, dear.
I've been thinking for a long time that Mexico is the place for us. California is now American, and we're Spanish. But I fear you'd not be happy away from the estate.
Oh, Felipe, my most beautiful dream for Ramona would be that she should grow up in Mexico.
Oh, then it's settled. I've had many handsome offers for the estate. We'll sail for Mexico as soon as all arrangements are made.
Dear Felipe, how good you are to me.
Oh, Ramona, my love. Oh, can you not love me?
Felipe, my brother.
No, I'm not your brother.
Felipe.
Forgive me, my sweet one. But I've loved you so long. So long.
Dear Felipe.
I've never loved anyone else.
I've always loved you, Felipe. But do you not know that part of me is dead? You could not want me for your wife.
Only give yourself to me, my love.
I will be your wife, Felipe, if you're sure it will make you happy.
It's all I ask of life.
They were married in the cathedral in the city of Mexico. It was a new world, a new life. Ramona might well have doubted her own identity. But when the notes of doves calling to each other fell on her ear, her eyes sought the sky, and she heard a voice saying, "Mahea, Mahea." This was the only secret her loyal heart kept from Felipe. Few husbands were so blessed as the Senor Moreno. Sons and daughters came to bear his name. The daughters were beautiful, but the most beautiful of them all, and it was said, the most beloved by both father and mother, was the eldest, the one who was only stepdaughter to the senor, Ramona. Ramona, daughter of Alessandro, the Indian.
Ramona by Helen Hunt Jackson is one of the best of America's novels, brought to you each week by the NBC University of the Air. Next week, American Novels will present The Hoosier Schoolmaster by Edward Eggleston, a book which won popular acclaim and recognition as a forerunner of the American dialect novel. We hope you'll be listening and that you'll pay a visit to your local public library very soon. You'll find there countless hours of entertainment for the asking. Many American novels in the 1947 summer series are included in the useful handbook of the world's great novels, which you may obtain by sending 25 cents to World's Great Novels, Post Office Box 30, Station J, New York 27, New York. That's Post Office Box 30, Station J, New York 27. Ramona was adapted for radio by Agnes Eckhart. The music composed by Emil Soderstrom, and the orchestra was conducted by Bernard Berquist. The entire production was under the direction of Norman Felton. Ramona was played by Geraldine Kaye, and Alessandra by Larry Alexander. Others in the cast were Maurice Copeland, Duke Watson, Alma Platt, Cliff Sabir, Johnny Coombs, Don Gallagher, Jim Humland, and Hilda Graham. Everett Clark was the narrator. This is John Conrad speaking. This program came to you from Chicago and has been a presentation of the National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations. School bells will ring out next month for 28 million American school children. But at least 2 million of these youngsters will be marked absent when school opens in September. They are the victims of an unprecedented crisis in American education. Since the beginning of the war, our schools have been going downhill to a shocking degree. Many of our best teachers, dissatisfied with overcrowded classrooms and impossible working conditions, are leaving the teaching field. This situation needs your immediate attention. As a parent and citizen, take an alert, active interest in improving educational standards and in aiding teachers in your community. Our teachers mold our nation's future. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.